Now, I don't want you to go without hearing another message, and this one, this message again, is to help you renew your mind and see your life in a whole new way, and I think it's very important. It's called, You Have Victory. You have victory. Now, you have victory in all situations over all things in your life. This is what God planned for you from the very beginning. He wanted you to have dominion, is what he called it. Dominion. And then he restored dominion to you when he came and walked on the earth as Jesus. This is, you know, it wasn't just about redemption. It's about restoration, about restoring you to your rightful place, that you now reign over your life and nothing has power over you. But you have victory in Jesus' name over all things.
Amen.
Now, you've got victory over sickness. Anything that is of under the darkness, under the curse, you have victory over that. That is your birthright when you receive Jesus. That is your birthright. You have victory over it. You have victory over poverty. You have victory over sickness. You have victory over darkness. You have victory over all these things, and there's nothing that can take it from you. Nothing on this earth can take that from you. Nothing in heaven can take that from you. It's been given to you, and it cannot be taken away. You have victory over every situation and every circumstance. And say amen to this.
Amen.
And there's only one thing. There's only one thing. You can give it away. You can give it away. Or maybe you never even take it up, even though you've already have it. Maybe you never use it. And that's the only way that can be taken from you, is if you fall into the illusion that you're somehow being defeated, or somehow the circumstances and the situation are too great and you can't overcome it, and you begin to believe that illusion, that lie, when you begin to believe that, now you give away the victory which you received through Jesus. That's the only way it can be taken. It cannot be taken any other way than if you give it up. Because once you understand this, and that's why I'm telling you this today, I want you to know that there is nothing under the curse, nothing under falsity, nothing under darkness that has power over you.
Amen.
There is nothing in heaven or earth. You have been given dominion and victory over all things in Jesus' name. That's why God came and walked on the earth, to give you that victory. Financial struggle? No struggle at all, because you've got victory over that.
Amen.
Depression, no struggle at all. You've got victory over that. Addiction, no struggle at all. You've got victory over that. Say amen to that.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it's called. You've got no problems because you've got victory over that situation. You've got victory in all ways at all times. Say amen to that.
Amen.
I want you to really start to understand that, because what happens is, quite often when we have situations that come against us, we can start to focus on everything that's going wrong. I mean, if you start watching the news for a few minutes, you know, you start seeing everything that's happening around the world. And it feels like people that believe in God are being persecuted. I see them being arrested. You know, they're being thrown in jail, even in this country, because they believe in God and they believe in the things that I'm talking about you today. I see them being thrown in jail in this country. And you start to think, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Uh-oh, there's something going on. People around the world that believe in God are being killed and persecuted. And you're starting to think, uh-oh, this looks like a real problem. And you can start to see the situations and start believing, we can't beat this. We're in big trouble. But you can't. You've got to remember that you've already got the victory. You've already got the victory. It belongs to you and it can't be taken away. You know, it changes everything if you already know the outcome. And we know the outcome says that we win. Say amen to that.
Amen.
If we're with God in Jesus' name, we win. That's the bottom line. And it doesn't matter what the situation or the circumstance look like today. It doesn't matter what the newscasters are telling you. It doesn't matter what that struggle you're having with your parents or with a coworker, how bad it seems. It doesn't matter. All you've got to know and all you've got to see and focus on and understand is that you already won it.
Amen.
Battles won, which I do not have to fight. And this is an important thing too, because quite often when we see everything closing down around us and seems like we're under attack, what's the first thing you start to do? You start preparing and planning for the attack. You've got to do a counterattack. Now, if it's on a small scale and it's a coworker, what do? You go home and you start planning out what you're going to say and what you're going to do. And if they say this, I'm going to say that. That'll be a real zinger. That'll get them. You know, they'll never stand a chance with that one. And you start planning out everything you're going to do and say so that you can win victory in this situation. And why is that? It's because you don't believe, or you're not truly receiving the fact that you've already won this. Battles won, which I do not have to fight. This testimonial that Kirsten was sharing about the coworker was a great example of battles won, which I do not have to fight. She knew the victory was already won. She prayed and talked to God. She asked him what to do. She received guidance. She went to work. There was nothing to do. It was already resolved. Battles won, which you do not have to fight. That's what it means if we already have victory. We don't have to go out there to do battle. We have to stand in faith and know that we already have it. If we come down here to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, "But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We've got victory, it says in 1 Corinthians. If we go down to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." Are you born of God?
Yes.
You are born of God. You've been born again. When you receive Jesus into your heart, you receive that victory. You're born of God, and now nothing can overcome you. And you've been given dominion. You reign over this life. So whatever's been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So if we stay in faith, if we continue believing, that's who I am. I have dominion. I reign over this life. This is what God has given me. Now, that was God's plan from the very beginning. His plan never changed. He gave us dominion in the beginning, and then he restored it back to us because we lost it. He restored it back to us, and when we received Jesus, we now have that plan is now restored, and you now reign in life. You reign in everything that you do. You reign over it because you have that victory. You don't have to go out to battle and fight. Why? Because those battles have already been won. You just have to stand in faith. Stand in truth. Stand in the light. Let the light shine. What did Liza say? She said the most important thing is the love. If we open our hearts and let the love of God shine out, the victory is won. That powerful Spirit of God, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of love. And when we let that Spirit of love shine forth, we win victories over every conflict, over every situation. We have battles won. You know, there's been time and time again, you know, when we start thinking about the situations in our life, we can think the odds are stacked against us. How are we ever going to overcome this? It seems like the other side is getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and the news media is working for them, and the politicians are working for them, and every person on the corner is working for them. And how is our side gonna overcome this? It starts looking pretty dark. But we gotta know that when situations look like there's no chance, that's the time when we know if we stand in faith, God will make us victorious. Examples in the Bible, time and time and time again, where it seemed like they were outnumbered. It seemed like there was no chance. It seemed like this was impossible. There was no way they could win, and yet they came out victorious. We got Elijah, if you remember Elijah the prophet. He goes up again. He's one prophet, the only prophet of God left. Now think about that. In all of the world, there's only one guy who is believing and speaking the word of God and hearing from God. One guy in the whole world. Man, talk about the odds being against you. What did this guy do? He goes up against the 450 prophets of Baal. That's not a good number, 450 to 1. That doesn't sound like good odds to me. But he is the man of God. And he comes out victorious. Here he goes into this competition with them, basically. They both build altars. They both put, bulls on there. And then they wait to see whose God's going to light it. Their God didn't light nothing. Because their God's got no power. That's why we already know we've got victory. his God, when he called upon him, immediately fire came down upon that altar. It didn't matter that it had been doused three times with water. It was soaked. Didn't matter. It lit. He won. What happened to those? What happened to all those false prophets? They were gone. That was it. He became victorious. It doesn't matter how badly the odds are stacked against you. If you can stand in faith and know, it doesn't matter if I'm the only one left, I know that I've got victory. I know how this finishes. And that's how we have to be, no matter what the situation looks like. Remember, we don't go by what we see. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. And the more we can stand in that and not get caught up in how bad things look, but understand, I am the victor. And that you, as a victor, you don't have to battle. Another great example of these things, I don't know if you heard of this one, David and Goliath. Anybody hear about that? You know, I mean, this is probably the most famous. You know, here's a youth, no training, against this guy, battle-hardened, trained from his birth, a giant. I mean, literally, a giant of a man, giant. Doesn't look good. The kid doesn't have any armor. Kid doesn't have a sword. Kid's got no training. Kid's been herding sheep all these years. A lot of good that's going to do, you think? But it does. Why? Because he believes in God. He is a man of faith, and he stands in faith, and he says, this day, you're going to fall. And sure enough, God delivered. God delivered. You know, I see this time and time again. One of my favorites, though, has to be with Gideon. I love this story of Gideon, and it takes place in Judges. And it's a great story about battles won, which you do not have to fight. It's a great story about standing in faith and believing God. And it kind of shows us how we need to do it, no matter what situation you're coming against. I want you to take a moment and think about the circumstances and situation that you feel like you've been battling and feel like maybe you've even been losing. Take a moment to think about that. I don't want to get caught up in the losing part of it, though, because what I'm trying to get you to understand is that you've already beaten it. Whatever it is, you've already beaten it and overcome it. It happens all the time when we stand with God. There's great stories even in present time about God delivering people. It doesn't just happen in ancient times. I remember I've heard stories about the 1966 war in Israel, where Israel was being attacked by all the countries that surrounded them. All the Middle East countries were coming in on Israel. They were going to take them out. And they were outnumbered badly. I mean, they were outnumbered, you know, and they were just kind of fairly new country at that time. And yet, I remember this one story where these soldiers are up on this hill, these Israelis, there's just a few of them, and here this whole army is coming against them with everything you could possibly imagine. They're moving in. It doesn't look good, but they believe in God. And suddenly, without warning, suddenly this army that's approaching gets up and starts running away. They just drop everything and start fleeing. The whole army just flees away from these few men that are standing there. The Israelis have no idea what just happened. They're looking at each other. They're looking at the army running away. They're going, what is it? Well, a little while later, somebody was interviewing one of these soldiers that was in that army. And they asked him, what happened in this battle? What happened on this day? And what happened was, this guy said, we were closing in on them. We were about to attack. And then they saw this entire army standing up there, the biggest army that they had ever seen in their life. And fear entered them, and they just fled. They couldn't, the fear just made them run away. Now, in the physical, there was just a few soldiers up there, but what they saw was they saw the army of God. And it put fear into them. And it gave victory to the Israelites in that war. The odds can be stacked against you, and things can be changed. Now, I'm not just talking about battles and victories in terms of wars. I'm talking about those little things that you go through in your life that cause you problems. Little things that can get you upset. I remember few months ago, I had a client come to my office, and I was just going to start working on them, and suddenly God told me, he reminded me actually, because he already had told me once before, make sure your client doesn't park on the street where the street cleaning is. When he got there, I forgot to ask. God reminds me a second time, just as I'm about to start work on the guy, he says, ask the guy where he parked. He says, I parked out on the street. I quickly ran to the window and looked out, and to my chagrin, I saw that the meter guy was already there at the car. He already had his big thing out, and he was hitting something on the keypad, and I was like, oh no, my heart dropped. But I quickly ran out the door. I told the client what was happening, and I said, I'll go first. And I got out there to where the meter guy was, and as I ran out the door, I said, here I am! You know, with a big smile on my face, and I ran across the street, and I got there, and I'm standing beside him. He doesn't even look up. You know how they are. You know, working away on something. And I'm like, here I am. You know, and after he finishes something, he looks up, and he goes, yeah, so? I'm like, well, you know, I'm here. He's like, all right, you know you're not supposed to park here. I'm like, well, I kind of knew, yeah, you know. And he's like, because the sign says, and I said, yeah, it does say that, yeah. Okay, he says, well, this time, okay, I won't give you a ticket. And I was like, oh, praise God. Inside, I'm like, thank you, God. That's so great. And as he's walking away, he suddenly looks and says, why is there not a license plate on the front of your car? Well, this is not my car. It's the guy inside. And I'm already praising God. Oh, what a miracle. Thank you, God. And then, no plate. I don't know why there's no plate on the car. You know, the client still hasn't come out. He's still in the office. And I'm like, oh, gee, I wish he would come out so he could tell him why there's no plate. He goes around to the back. He looks. There's a plate on the back, but there's no sticker. No, telling you what month. He says, why is there no registration? Is this car registered? I'm like, I don't. Can you wait a minute? I just got to run in the building there, and I'll get the guy that owns the car, and he'll explain it. Can you wait? He's like, yeah, I'll wait. I'm like, what? The guy's going to wait for me to run across the street, go into the building, find this guy, come back out. How often does that happen? So sure enough, we go in, we come out. He's still waiting for us, you know, and this guy comes up, and the meter guy says, well, what's the story? Is this car registered? No. Have you tried to register it? No. Why is that? Well, there's a mechanical issue, and I wasn't sure whether I was going to keep it or I was going to sell it. I didn't know what to do, so I just, you know, he's like, oh. And that's it. And he stands there, and he says, we stood there, it seemed like forever, and I'm like, thank you, God, for giving us victory. And I know, Lord, that this is it. And I'm thinking, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you'll do something, because you already did something. And the guy that owns the car says, could you give me a second chance? Moment passed. He says, okay. I'm like, what? Now, he let this guy off from parking in street cleaning. He let him off from having no front license plate. He let him off from not having a registration, never even attempted to register it. And he let him off for all of this, never gave him a ticket. And he had already started doing something. You guys know, when they start doing something, they don't stop. This guy started, and he stopped, and he let him off for everything. And then he starts to tell us, okay, you can't park this car on the street, because even if you move it over on that other street over there, he says, another meter guy might come and give it a ticket. So you can't park, you got to park somewhere off the street. So now he starts to tell us how to avoid a ticket on top of everything else. Wow. So I'm like, yeah, good idea. Thank you, sir. You know, we did everything he said to avoid a ticket. But my point is, battles won, which we did not have to fight. We didn't have to go out there. And I know some people, they get all aggressive and they get all angry. They say, what are you doing writing a ticket on my car? You know, and they get all in their face. And I just went out there and I smiled, and this guy that was beside me said practically nothing, you know, and we were just standing there, you know, we didn't fight, we didn't get angry, and yet the battle was won. Battles won which you do not have to fight, and that's the way it is when you're working with God. We have the victory already over the situation. Those are the little things that kind of irritate you and bother you and can get you all tied up in knots throughout the day. But all those little things, If we stand in victory on them, we will have it. Let me go back to Gideon here, because I mentioned Gideon. Now, the story of Gideon is interesting, because Gideon is a farmer. And he's a farmer who sees, much like I was talking about, the situation didn't look good. These Midianites guys had kind of, they kept coming in to Israel, and they kept taking, every time the produce would get ready, they would come and they'd take everything. They'd take all the livestock, and they'd take all the produce. They'd take everything. They left nothing behind for these guys. And this had happened for quite a few years now, and Gideon's a farmer. He's the son of a farmer, and he's like, God, you know, let's take a look and see what he says here, because he says some interesting stuff. So this is Judges 6. So also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. Now this is what the Lord was saying to the people before that time. So now here's what the Lord also says this now in Judges 6 and 12. He says, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now he's talking to Gideon directly. He's saying, the Lord is with you. Here's Gideon's response. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. How often have we responded like that? When it seems like everything's against you, and often there'll be a prompting from the inside that says, the Lord is with you. And what's your response? Really? If the Lord is with me, where are all the miracles? Why is all this stuff coming against me? Why is it so difficult? Why can't I overcome this? Have you responded like? I know I have at times. I've responded like that. This is how Gideon responds. Because it looks dire. It looks difficult. But if we go down, there's something else that happens. So he has told them, the Lord has told them what to do to avoid problems. They have not done it. He said, don't respect or don't fear the gods of the Amorites. Don't fear them. But they did. And another way to say that fear is to say respect them. They respected them by building altars to all these gods rather than just building an altar to their god. They started respecting or fearing these other gods too. So, let's go down. Now here, what do we need to do? In Judges 6:34 it says, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and then he blew a trumpet. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Now, I have to go back a little bit, and I'll tell you a little bit of this story, because I don't want you to miss out. So Gideon's a farmer. An angel of the Lord comes to him, and the voice of the Lord comes to him and says, you can take these people. You can deliver your people from these Midianites. This is when he's feeling very low and feeling like nothing can happen. He says, you can deliver them. He doesn't feel like that. Why? He's a farmer. He's not trained in battle. He doesn't know any of that stuff. But that's what he's feeling. Now, the angel of the Lord tells him this, and it gives him a directive and says, you have to go. Here's what you need to do. You need to go and knock down the altar of Baal that your father has built. In other words, we got to get our house in order. So if we're going to receive the victory, we might have to change some stuff in our life to get in alignment with God. Because here, his father had built altars to other gods. He's asking and wondering, why are there no miracles anymore? And now God is telling him, get your house in order. Go knock down that altar and build an altar to me. So sure enough, he was a little afraid because he was the youngest. He had no power. So he went at night because he was a little afraid of his father and his father's house. So he went at night and did what the Lord said. And he tore down that altar and he built an altar to the Lord. And so now he got their house in order. They're no longer worshiping some other god. They've now put God first place. That's what we got to do in our life. We've got to set priorities and make commitments and say, God, you're first place in my life. If there's some other reason you can't get here on Sunday to put God first place, then perhaps you need to take a look at your house and see, is there another altar in my house that's preventing me from receiving the gifts and the miracles and the blessings that God has promised me? Because that's what Gideon had to do. So he tore down that altar. Now, when he did that, things started to change. Now, first of all, the people were a little upset, but then they kind of shrugged it off, and they didn't really react as strongly as he thought, because he thought, uh-oh, they might be mad at me. They were mad at first, and they said, if Baal is offended by his altar being taken down, let him defend it. You know, see what he can do about it, which we already know what he did. Nothing. So, now Gideon, let's go down here. Hold on a second. So the angel of the Lord came to him. So he said to him, O Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. I like that because quite often you might feel like you don't have the skills that you need. Maybe you don't have the knowledge that you need. Maybe you feel like you're the weakest in the bunch. How is God going to give you victory? And yet here the same thing is true of Gideon. His clan is the weakest, and on top of it, he's the lowest of the bunch. And now God is saying he's going to deliver them. You with me? All right, let's go down a little further. Now it came to pass the same night, oh, that's the part I already talked about where he ripped down that altar. Okay, let's go down to verse 34. Now the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and then he blew his trumpet, and the Asberites gathered behind him. Now this is when he finally took up the challenge. Now he had to go through a few testings because he wasn't trusting the Lord totally. So he put down this fleece and he said, okay, Lord, here's what I want. If you're truly with me, and I'm going, you know, if you're truly with me, here's what, you know, tomorrow when I wake up, there'll be dew on this fleece, but none on the ground around it. So he woke up the next day. The fleece was covered in dew. In fact, he wrung it out. There was like a whole bowl full of dew in that fleece. He put it back down and he said, okay, Lord, if you're truly with me, let me just try you one more time. Tonight, let's have the dew be on the ground and no dew on the fleece. So he's testing him. Next day, of course, he wakes up. The fleece is dry. The ground is wet. Then he now says, okay, I'm ready. He's obviously, his relationship with God is a little dicey. He needs a little faith there because what we do is we don't need to test God. We just need to believe. Remember, we just believe. We've got the victory. We've got the power. We should be walking already, reigning in this life so that we can step into it. Now, when that happens is when the Spirit comes upon me. That's why I read this verse twice. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon Gideon. He ain't going to get any victory on his own. He needs the Spirit of the Lord upon him. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You have the Spirit of God on the inside already, which is the power to give you victory over any situation and circumstance that comes into your life. You've already got that. Here it comes upon Gideon, so now that he could get that same victory. And if we skip down to chapter 7, verse 2, and the Lord said to Gideon, let me just start before I say that. So he sends out a message to all the people all around because he's going to go to battle against the Midianites. Now, the Midianites are a big group of people. They've got people, what does it say, like the sand they stretch out. There's so many of them. I mean, as far as the eye can see. It's a big group he's going to battle. So he sends out a message to all the surrounding areas and says, hey, I'm going to come and take these guys on. So people show up. There's like 32,000 guys show up. So he's got 32,000 guys, and here's what the Lord. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my hand has saved me. My own hand has saved me is what they're saying. So 32,000, too many people. I don't know. If I'm going to war, I'd like to have extra people. Wouldn't you like to have extra people? I'd like to have extra people. I'm sure Gideon was thinking the same thing, but God tells him, too many. Got to weed them out. So they cut it down. They now get down to 10,000 people. He's got 10,000 men now with him, ready to fight, ready to protect him. Here's what the Lord says in verse 4. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Too many people, 10,000. They're going against a very large group. 10,000 is too many. He narrows them down again. How many people? 300. 300 people. He's got 300 guys with him against an entire army. Doesn't seem right. But this is what the Lord is giving this direction, and this is the guidance he gives. We want to follow the guidance that the Lord gives, because if we do it our own way, it doesn't work anyway. Right? Now, this doesn't sound right. I mean, if we think about it logically, if we do the calculations, if we look at how many they've got probably millions or thousands, hundreds of thousands. You know, they're stretching out there as far as the eye can see. I've got 300. Don't like the math. But remember, we want to do it God's way. Okay? Let's take a look. Okay, so 300 people. Let's skip down a little more. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "By the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place." Now, I think Gideon was still a little worried now. I'd be worried too. But God told him not to worry. And he says, if you're still a little worried, because he wants him to go up this night and take them out. On this very night, he wants him to go right away. But he says, if you're worried, why don't you just go sneak up to the camp and see what they're saying. Go just take a look and just peek in and see what's saying, and that'll strengthen you, and then you'll know you have victory. And so here in Judges 7:13, Gideon has arrived, and when Gideon had come, there was a man this is the enemy. There's a man there in the camp, and he's telling a dream to his companion. And he said, "I have a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned and the tent collapsed." How many times have I talked to you about receiving guidance in dreams? It's saying, listen to your dreams. God is speaking to us. God is delivering us. Now, God is already working something through dreams, but he's working something through dreams for the other side. Now, listen to what this dream meant. If we go down to verse 14 here. And then his companion answered, "Now, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hands God has delivered Midian and the whole camp." So the enemy, his companion, decides this dream means that it's the end. And it does sound like that, because in the dream, the tent topples over and collapses. That means like your house topples over and collapses. Your whole life topples over and collapses. In the language of dreams, that's what it's saying. And it was bread. And so that goodness of God coming into the camp toppled their house. And this is what the companion to the Midianite says. This means we're in trouble. We've been defeated already. What's happening? God's already working on the inside. Let's go down a little further. All right. So when Gideon hears this, he now knows right away. He knows, I've got victory. I've got victory. He goes back and he tells the 300 guys, let's go. Let's get him. And what did they do? Did they grab their swords and get ready to go into battle? No. Why? Because they have battles won which they do not have to fight. God has already been fighting this battle internally in these people. They've already got a fear of Gideon inside of them. They've already got a fear inside of them, and they think he's already won. He's already beat us. See, God is battling for you. The victory's already yours. You just have to stand in victory and receive it. Say amen to that.
Amen.
You just have to stand in victory. Now, what did Gideon do? So he takes his 300 men. They don't have swords. They have a torch in one hand, hidden in a picture, a torch in one hand, and
a horn,
thank you. Yes, a trumpet in the other hand. Went blank there for a second. So that's all they've got. They've got a trumpet and a torch. And they approach this camp, and at the sign that Gideon gives them, when he breaks that picture that was around the torch and blows his horn, he instructs everybody else of his 300 men to do the same thing. And they did. And what happened when they did that? In the Midianite camp, they get up, they begin to panic, they start killing one another, they start fleeing and running for the hills, and Gideon receives victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So what we have is battles won which you did not have to fight. How many people did Gideon kill in this battle? None. He's holding a torch. He's holding a torch which represents the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. The love of God. So he's got the love of God in one side, and in the other hand, he's got a trumpet. He's blowing, praising God. You know, when we sound that sound of the trumpet, we sounded praise. And that's it. If we've already got victory, we should be standing, and that's where we should be. We should let the Spirit of God, love, flow from us, and we should be just praising God. When we can stand in faith and know that we've already got the battle won, like Gideon, when we know that that's the case, every single situation and time, I don't care what the situation looks like. I don't care what the norm is. Yeah, normally the meter guy, once he starts, he writes a ticket. That's not the norm for you, though. You know you've got battles won. It doesn't matter that there's only 300 men against thousands and thousands. That might be normally not a good odds, but with God it is. It doesn't matter because you've already got the victory. Battles won which you do not have to fight. If you can understand that and stand in that truth, that that's who I am, and just hold your torch, meaning let the Spirit of God, the love of God flow from you, and just keep praising Him. Keep blowing that horn. You will receive your victory too. Say amen to that.
Amen.
That is what God has prepared for us from the very beginning. When Jesus came and walked on the earth, He won the victory. When we receive Him into our heart, we now have that victory. It doesn't matter what kind of dark force. It doesn't matter what we call it. It doesn't matter what level it's on. If it's falsity or curse or darkness, it doesn't matter what the name of it is. You've already won it. You've already got that battle won. You just got to stand in faith. It's a battle won which you do not have to fight. You don't have to pull out your sword. You don't have to plan your strategy. You don't have to start to think, what are the words I'm going to say? It doesn't matter whether it's financial or it's health. It doesn't matter whether it's spiritual. You've got that battle won in Jesus' name. All you have to do is stand in the light and praise God, and the victory is yours. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.